use it, or do you want us to?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. I want to thank you so much for inviting me down. Ooh, this really is blinding. For inviting me to come down and talk to you about global warming. I want to thank Vera Lee and Kim from the South Visalia Peace Center for South Valley Peace Center for inviting me, Sierra Club, Audubon Society, the Visalia Democratic Club, and the Unitarian Universalists. I also want to say hi to a couple of the Central Valley Air Quality Coalition people, my colleagues who came tonight, Teresa DeAnda from Early Mart and Tom Franz from Shafter. You guys should talk to them afterwards. There's a lot of great work going on in the Valley, and I'm really happy to be here and be part of it. Try it again.
They're nice when they work, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'll just forward.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about three things tonight. One, I wanted to give you a sneak preview of some of the latest science that's just about to come out in about a week. You guys are probably the first group that's going to see this publicly. The latest state study on how global warming is expected to impact California, and then talk a little bit about why the Valley is so important in helping the state legislature pass some policies that can reduce global warming and could have a national and international impact on global warming. Try this one more time. Okay, so we'll start off with just sort of some background on global warming. As you guys probably know, the Earth is warming. Global warming is underway. It's happening. Over the last 100 years, the mean surface temperature, the average temperature of the Earth's surface has risen about 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit. In the last 30 years, most of that warming has occurred. The Earth has warmed about 1.08 degrees Fahrenheit in the last 30 years. And you can see this green part spiking up, where we're now seeing some of the hottest years we've ever recorded. And 2005 was just named the hottest year in about the last several thousand years. Out of the last 20 years, 19 of them have been the hottest on record. Sea levels are also rising. Over the last century, sea levels have risen about 7 inches, and this trajectory is expected to keep increasing if global warming continues unabated. We've seen glaciers melting across the globe, being reduced to puddles, basically. And we've also, advance it. You can also, we've seen unprecedented melting of polar ice on both polar ice caps. This is the Greenland ice sheet. And just this dark red area is the melting that just happened in the year 2005. So it's pretty dramatic. The impacts of global warming are already being felt here in California as well. We're seeing our glaciers here in the Sierras decreasing. The snow in the Sierras is melting earlier. The spring water pulse is coming up sometimes up to a month earlier. Wildflowers are blooming earlier, and insects and other species are starting to move north. And so what causes global warming? The the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has, which is a collection of about 2,500 scientists from all across the world, has stated that that most of the warming that we've observed over the last 50 years is attributable to human activities. And the biggest cause of global warming is the burning of fossil fuels, either through cars or through using fossil fuels for electricity and other industrial sources. What happens is that the carbon dioxide and these other global warming gases escape into the atmosphere and sort of blanket the Earth like a blanket. they trap the heat that comes in from the sun. They trap the heat within the Earth's atmosphere, and it can't escape again. So in California, we're the 12th largest emitter of global warming emissions in the world. If we were a country, we'd be ranked 12th in terms of our global warming emissions. And we have the 6th biggest, largest economy in the world. So what we do here in California really does make a difference. And in California, most of our global warming emissions come from the transportation sector. Our cars and trucks and other mobile sources account for 41% of global warming emissions. And then the two other big chunks are our electricity and industrial activity. So what I'm going to talk about for the next several minutes is a summary of some of the main findings from this new report that I was mentioning earlier. It's a report that the Union of Concerned Scientists helped prepare for the Climate Action Team, which is a set of about 9 different state agencies that have been working with scientists from many different universities to study the impact of global warming on California. What can we expect to happen here in our state? And they've come up with about 18 different papers, which are going to be released in the next week or so. So I'm giving you a little sneak preview. I'm going to go into a little bit of detail because I think this is really important to sort of set the stage for understanding the impacts. What the study did is that they looked at 3 different futures. The red line at the top is the future in which our world continues to emit global warming pollutants at the same rate they are now. It's a future economy based on heavy fossil fuel reliance, an increasing global population. And so you can see the carbon dioxide emissions just going up and up and up. They also considered a medium emission scenario where some clean technology is thrown into the mix and we try to reduce our emissions a little bit. And then this green line at the bottom is a future in which we make a dramatic shift to cleaner technologies and we really make an effort to reduce our global warming emissions. So they kind of considered those 3 options. Those are our choices. What are we going to do as a society? And then they used global climate models to figure out, based on those emissions levels, that amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, what will that do? What will that do to the oceans? What will that do to all the different climate systems? They used several models, and they came up with what you would logically expect, which is the higher the emissions go, the higher the temperatures go. And so they came up with 3 warming ranges, a high warming range, medium, and a lower warming range. And what can you flash back to that real quick? Let me say one last thing. The higher warming range, you can see it's about a 10.5 degree Fahrenheit increase in average temperature, in annual temperature increase in California. So that's pretty huge. So that's in the higher warming range. We're talking about a 10-degree, roughly, increase. Down here at the lower warming range, it's about a 3.5-degree warming. So keep that in mind as we go through the rest of the impacts here. The first section I wanted to talk about is public health. And one of the pollutants that will be affected by higher temperatures the most is ozone. Ozone is produced when certain chemicals react in sunlight and heat. So you can see here that this is just an example of ozone spikes related to temperature. And as the temperature increases, you get more and more ozone production. And ozone is a very serious problem in the valley. The valley has some of the worst ozone problems in the country, actually, and they're not getting any better. Just a snapshot of how pollution has increased in the valley over the last 10 years or so. Vehicle miles traveled is going up, mainly because the population here is growing so fast. It's growing faster than any other region in the state. And you can see that the days where we've exceeded ozone levels here, which means we're breathing unhealthy air. When ozone gets into your lungs, it can be very harmful, especially for children, can cause permanent lung function damage. It can cause and exacerbate asthma, and it can also affect your heart. It has some very serious health impacts. So what we're looking at with these global warming scenarios is here in the valley, if we go to that lower warming range, that 3 to 5 degree warming, we're still looking at about a 25% to 30% increase in days conducive to ozone formation, days that could be bad air days. If we go just to that medium warming range, which is about 6 to 7 degrees higher, we're looking at a 75% to 80% increase in the number of bad air days that could be occurring here. In this study, they didn't even model the very highest warming range. But this could be a very serious problem for the valley, especially because the valley is already sort of lagging behind the state average on a lot of indicators of well-being. There are more people here who are underinsured or uninsured, more people living in poverty, and more people who are already afflicted with asthma and other illnesses because of the bad air pollution. So the vulnerable population here is bigger than it is in the rest of the state. So we'll skip that one. The next section that I wanted to talk about is impact on water. As the global temperatures increase, we're going to see a reduction in the Sierra snowpack. And what you can see here is that this blue line, this purple bar, is 100%. This is where we are today, current snowpack levels, measured in April every year. As the temperatures increase, that snowpack, the amount of snow accumulated in April, gets less and less until when we're in the highest warming range, it's about a 90% reduction in snowpack. It's virtually gone. Ski resorts will be completely out of business. All of the snow tourism and recreation will be gone. And that would be bad, but the worst part really about this is that half of all of our surface water that we use in the state is stored in this snowpack. It's sort of a big reservoir in the sky. It falls in the winter, it's frozen up there, and it's sort of starts trickling down in the spring and then comes fully down in the summer when people in Southern California need it the most. And if this disappears, we will have some serious problems with water availability. This is just a little diagram. Most of you probably know how the water system in California works, but you know, we've got the snowpack that drains into reservoirs, and then that either is pumped into groundwater or into aqueducts and shipped south. 75% of California's precipitation falls north of Sacramento, but the greatest demand is in Southern California, so it's all shipped south. The projections, this study that I'm referencing here just looked at one scenario. This is the higher warming range, that 8 to 10 degree red zone. And if this just shows the decrease in water availability in some of the major basins in California, and you can see we're looking at 25 to 30% less water in the San Joaquin Valley, and then down to almost, I think it's 41% less water in Southern California. Okay, so agriculture is a big issue here. It accounts for about 25% of all employment in the Central Valley. And there's many different ways that global warming is expected to impact agriculture. One of the ways is decreasing chill hours. I don't know, I just learned what a chill hour is when we were doing this study, but some of you may know. It's an hour where the temperatures drop below 45 degrees. And a lot of fruit and nut trees need a certain amount of hours, of chill hours every year for their blooms to set. It's somebody laughing. It's not just time to chill out. But what we're seeing is that here in Fresno, with the lower warming range, we're getting dangerously close to an area where fruit trees and nut trees are not going to be producing. The higher warming range, many types of fruit and nut trees won't be able to produce here anymore. They'll either have to move north or be replaced by some other crop. And with perennials like trees and grapevines, it's not that easy or economically viable to just be shifting to a new crop. Also, there's a study on dairy production. I know that might be a good thing if some of the dairies weren't around, but what we're seeing is that milk production starts to suffer as temperatures climb. And in the higher warming range, they expect milk production to be reduced by about 10 to 20%. Okay, and then this is the last impact section, environmental hazards. We've heard about Hurricane Katrina. We've heard about flooding. We have our own set of hazards to deal with here in California. One of them is heat waves. And what the predictions are showing is that with the higher warming, Fresno, for example, the days with temperatures above 90 degrees Fahrenheit, they happen about 36 days a year on average now. That will increase to over 100 days a year. This just went off if somebody wants to change the tape. So summertime highs in California. Before, when I was talking about the warming ranges, that was sort of an average. Summertime highs are expected to shoot up to about 13 degrees higher than they are now on average in the state. And this, once again, you know, the more vulnerable populations among us will be suffering the most. most people will be able to adapt by getting air conditioning, but a lot of people either can't afford to have air conditioning at their house or won't be able to afford the energy bills. The studies are predicting that on the hottest summer days, our state will use about 10% more electricity than it otherwise would have because of the increased heat. Okay, and then the last impact I wanted to mention is wildfires. In the medium warming range, we expect about a 55% increase in large wildfires in California on average. And once again, here the highest warming range wasn't modeled. So the 55 degrees is just for that medium range. So to sort of summarize the impacts, what we're seeing is that the impacts become a lot more severe the higher the temperatures rise. And what's causing the temperatures to rise? It's emissions of global warming pollution. So the good news is that even as temperatures rise, we do have a choice. We can act now to avoid those very severe, serious impacts. They're not inevitable. Our governor, Schwarzenegger, has actually set some very ambitious and great global warming emissions reduction targets for our state. He signed an executive order committing us to reducing our global warming emissions 80% below 1990 levels by 2050. This is more than almost any other state or country in the world is doing. And it's right on the mark, because the science is telling us we've got to reduce our emissions by about 80% in order to just stay in that lower warming range. If California can lead the way, and if other states in the United States and other countries follow that lead and also reduce at similar levels, about 80%, we can stay in that lower warming range. So California, if we meet those targets that were set out by the governor, we will actually be reducing, we will actually have more emissions reductions than some of the countries that are part of the Kyoto Agreement. So it's actually a very meaningful and big deal for us just to try to make these targets real. And that's the next part of what I want to talk to you about, which is solutions. How are we going to make these targets a reality? California has already been leading the way nationally and internationally in very aggressive global warming, well, environmental policies in general, but especially global warming policies. We have the only statute in the world that requires automakers to start making cars that emit less global warming emissions. Assemblywoman Pavley passed a bill a couple years ago that requires automakers to make cars that have about 30% less on average global warming emissions than they do today. And this is wonderful. Already, there's 11 other states that have adopted our standard, and that's almost a third of the whole car market in the United States. And then there's more on the way. Chicago, North Carolina, Hawaii, a bunch of other states are also getting ready to adopt this standard. We could force the automakers to start making cleaner cars, but thanks to some dealerships in the Central Valley, this law is now the subject of a big lawsuit, a state lawsuit and a federal lawsuit. These 13 plaintiffs, plus GM and Daimler Chrysler, have sued the state of California to block that rule. And there's also a federal suit. All of those same dealerships are part of the federal suit. So we, along with the governors and many of the legislators and many of the congresspeople from those other 11 states, are all fighting this lawsuit. It's a big, big deal. And I'd love to talk to any of you later who have ideas for what we might be able to do here. Okay, so, all right, so we've got that, you know, our auto standard under attack, but coming up in this next legislative session, we have some really exciting, big opportunities to lock in some emissions reduction policies. And the biggest one, I think, is going to be another bill by Assemblywoman Pavley. It's going to be, it's AB 32. The language isn't finalized yet. It's still being worked out. But what we think is that it's going to be a cap. It's going to take those governor's targets and put them into law, into statute, and then it's going to set a cap on how much global warming emissions are going to be allowed to be emitted from California. And that cap will just ratchet down year by year until we get down to 80% below 1990. And this is huge. It's more than any other state is doing to address global warming. It could be a model for how to address this problem. Also, there's another bill that is supplementary to the California Clean Car Standard. This one is a clean car discount, where the idea is to impose a one-time surcharge on new vehicles bought in California that would then go to pay for rebates on clean cars. So the dirty cars would get a surcharge. The clean cars would get a rebate, so that it makes some of those cleaner cars a lot more affordable. It incentivizes consumers to buy them, but it also incentivizes the automakers to start making cars that can get the rebates. And then finally, the Climate Action Team report, which is coming out in about a week, has a whole set of additional policies and recommendations that we hope legislators will take up. So this is going to be a big year for global warming policy in the state legislature. So why are our Central Valley Assembly members so important? Well, in the Assembly, we've got 80 members altogether. We've got 47 Democrats, but there's a block of about 15 who are known as the Mod Squad, the Moderate Democrats, who have been known to vote more with business and try to kill environmental bills. And Nicole Parra and Barbara Matthews are both members of the Mod Squad. And the Latino Caucus is another powerful caucus within the Assembly. And there's a couple Valley legislators that are on the Latino Caucus. So there are some very important legislators here in the Valley that could vote the right way. They're not lost causes like some others that we may not mention, but they're definitely worth the effort of working on. So to close, I would just want to leave you with a couple options for some things to think about, and I would love to open this up for discussion and hear about what you guys are working on and take any questions and get into a good discussion. But I've brought a little fact sheet that just has some things personally that you can do, but also I think more importantly, being part of a group, which I think most of you here are, being organized and finding power in numbers and actually meeting legislators, going to their office, interacting with them, and just putting as much pressure on them as possible is so important. We have the Union of Concerned Scientists has an action alert network. If you want to stay up with some of these bills, please, there's a sign-up sheet here. You can go on the website and sign up. It's very low volume, but we do let you know when important votes are coming up. And then finally, I didn't get to show it tonight. Because the computer couldn't handle it, but we're producing a video documentary on global warming, and there's a section on Fresno air quality that I wanted to show you that Kevin Hamilton is in. But we're trying to organize a bunch of house parties on Earth Day. We're going to distribute DVDs of the video and have people watch them and invite their friends, and then, you know, get organized to take action. And so I brought a sign-up sheet. If anyone is interested in having a house party and getting a copy of the video when it's done, we'll definitely mail you. So that's it, and should we open it for questions?